sign her on.
Okay, we'll just work around him.
Yep.
So we'll go to Senator Daines next if he doesn't get
yep.
Okay. I love some paper and letters yeah. that start with, yeah. Are you daft? That's great.
Call to order. This hearing of the Tax Reform Division of the Senate Committee on Taxes, Tuesday, February 26, 2013. First item is to approve the minutes. Would ask members to take a little bit of time to look over the minutes, check if there are any corrections to be made, spelling, et cetera, if you notice anything. Anything? Seeing none, Senator Dietzick moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much. We have a day dealing with tax increment financing proposals, and we will begin with Senate File 592, Senator Newton. Dealing with TIF districts in the city of Glencoe. Welcome to the committee, Senator Newman. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, for the record, my name is Senator Scott Newman. The city of Glencoe is a city that is in my district, and I have brought Senate File 592 forward at their request. And essentially, this is a request to extend their ability to collect tax increments for the sole purpose of paying debt service on two other tax increment financing districts. The basic reason that you will be told as to this particular request by the city of Glencoe is because of the downturn in the economy, which effectively prevented the city from maintaining the debt service on two other TIF districts. I have with me seated immediately to my right the mayor of the city of Glencoe, Randy Wilson, and immediately to my left the city administrator for the city of Glencoe, Mark Larson. I believe, Madam Chair, that you have and the members have in their packets some documents that Mr. Larson has prepared to assist you in following the presentation on this bill. And with that, Madam Chair, I would welcome Mayor Wilson to make some comments on this bill.
Thank you, Senator Newman. I just want to briefly talk about our tax increment districts. We do have 16 of them. Over the past years, since 1976, we've had a few of them, and we've decertified 12 of them. We currently just have the four left. And as Senator Newman said, we want something we've not done before is to ask for special legislation that would allow us to extend one of the districts to help pay for the other two. And to give you the specifics, I'm going to ask our City Administrator Mark Larson to give you exactly what our request is.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to appear
before.
If
you would please identify yourself for the record.
Certainly. I am Mark Larson. I'm the city administrator for the city of Glencoe.
Mr. Larson.
Thank you for the opportunity to appear before the committee today. As Senator Newman indicated, you do have information in front of you, a memo that I sent to him, along with some supporting documentation. Mayor Wilson did indicate that over history, we've had 16 districts, of which we've decertified 12 of them. In fact, we had a couple of districts decertified in the last couple of years that actually helped with paying for debt service in tax increment district 15 and 14. Simply put, we have a tax increment district that was established back in the late 80s, certified in 1988. and 89 for tax increment district number 4, which has been a successful district. We have a lot of good businesses out there. We had established two other districts, tax increment district 14 and tax increment district 15, that currently do have debt associated with them. Number 14 is a downtown redevelopment district, of which we've done a few projects. We've had some successful teardowns of substandard buildings and reconstructed new buildings in their place. Tax increment 15 was an economic development district, which had a 10-year life span. We do have one major business out there and a secondary business that's occupying the same building. Midwest Porcine and Miro Matrix Medical, both biomedical building or businesses. What we are asking is that tax increment District 4 would be extended until 23, and that would assist with the payment of debt service in tax increment 14 and tax increment 15. If we have substantial redevelopment in number 14 or additional development in number 15, the City Council would decertify the district at that time. If there are any questions.
Mr. Larson or Senator Newman, the bill calls for that action to be, requires the city to take that action.
Correct.
At the end of this year,
we would have to decertify the tax increment district number 4 if we did not have special legislation.
What I'm asking is, you said that if additional development takes place in either 14 or 15, that you would, and you didn't need to continue to pay the debt service from number 4 on number 14 and 15, that you would decertify it early.
Correct.
Does that state that in the bill?
I don't believe it states that in the bill.
Madam Chair,
I think Mayor Wilson is correct. I do not believe that is contained in the bill. It is simply the intention of the city.
And I think this is a very lengthy extension of in a district in terms of collecting increment to allow it, another 10 years, even though, it's quote, just debt service. But I think that if the bill goes forward, we might want to put some kind of, requirement for the city to cease collecting the increment or to require it to only be used for that purpose. And then if things happen earlier than that, that you need to cut it off and put that in the legislation. Senator Newman?
Chair, if council could come up with an amendment to that effect, I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, we'll make that as a note on the bill as opposed to trying to come up with a specific language right this.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If I could, Madam Chair, I think that is a very wise thing to do. That would give no problem for us at all. When the revenue's there and then we could decertify, it would be a very good thing to do.
Any other questions for Senator Newman or the Mayor or Mr. Larson? Thank you very much. We appreciate your being here today.
Yeah, Madam Chair, could you please let me know, what is the intention of the committee in terms of going forward?
We're laying these bills over, all the TIF bills over, both the general law ones and the special law ones, and there will be a TIF article in the omnibus tax bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So we don't take votes on things. We just lay them over.
I understand.
Unless we're actually moving them on, we just lay them over, okay? But we will, council is making a note that we will have some restrictive language with regard to that, and we will make sure that it's shared with you when it's ready.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Newman. Okay. Where is he? Is Senator Hoffman here? Senator Dames, are you in the room? I know, yeah, right there. We will take up Senator Hoffman's bill when he makes it down here. He's in another committee, and we'll, whenever he comes, we will take his bill next. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. We have from Senator Dames, Senate File 202, regarding the city of Canby. Welcome to the committee.
For the record, I am Senator Gary Dames, and I am here today to introduce Senate File 202. Senate File 202 is a bill that relates to the city of Canby allowing the creation of a special tax in the district. The city of Canby is in my district, and today I have with me Nicholas Johnson, the Canby City Administrator, and John Meyer, the Canby Development National Advisor. John is to my left.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
My name is John Meyer. I'm the City Finance and Development Advisor for the City of Canby. I'm pleased to be here, Madam Chair and committee members. We were here last year with the same request. The city, back in the early 2000s, got approached by a developer because they were out of residential lots, and he proposed that the bare piece of ground he developed with assistance from the city for infrastructure. City agreed to the proposal.
Could you move the mic a little bit closer, please, so we can pick it up on the tape? Thank you.
City agreed to the proposal and subsequently issued debt of $175,000 and created a tax increment district. Unfortunately, the timing was poor. The economy went bad. The developer went bankrupt. The city already had issued the debt, made the public improvements, and now had basically no way to service the debt. They were forced also to decertify the district, and now they face and have faced paying the debt under the general fund. In fact, in 2011, they spent about what would be the equivalent of 5.4% of their general fund expenditures on servicing that particular debt. Our request here today is special legislation to reestablish or establish a new tax increment district that would have a term up to 20 years or until the $175,000 with interest and principal is serviced. Thank you.
Did you want to have further?
For the record, my name is Nicholas Johnson.
Mr.
I am city administrator for Canby. To reiterate what John said, in 2011, we did have to expend 5.4% of our general fund expenditures just to defease the debt on this tax increment financing district, so we would look to recover those lost funds.
Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To either one of the testifiers, is there housing interest? Is there a project?
There have been some homes. I'm Madam Chair, Commission Committee Member. There have been some homes, and we have some tentative purchase agreements to buy some lots if we don't have to have the special assessments or the assessment to recover our investment that we have. So there is some interest with this legislation. I think that within a year or two, theoretically, all the lots could be built. There's enough interest, and there's no other parcels in town. Most of the interest is from people who are moving back or retiring from farming.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy.
And could you address the request that the original tax capacity equals zero?
Oh, Madam Chair, committee member, we are reducing it to zero because in order for us to accomplish what we need to accomplish and service the $175,000 in debt and interest in this small area of 21 lots, we have to bring it back to zero to have enough increment in that 20-year period. Just because of the values attached to the properties that will be built there.
Senator Dietzig.
Madam Chair, thank you. You mentioned that other if we don't do this and get the amount down to zero, that the assessments might be high. Do you have any idea what the assessments against the properties would be if we don't do this?
For the public infrastructure, it would be about $13,000 a lot. Committee member, Madam Chair.
I didn't catch that. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Committee member, $13,000 approximately a lot.
Per lot?
Per lot, yeah.
Senator Coonan?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Meyer. If I understand now that the proposed new TIF district would have the exact same boundaries as the original TIF district, is that correct?
Madam Chair, committee member, Senator Coonan, that is absolutely correct.
Okay, thank you. And Madam Chair?
Senator Coonan.
Canby, as you heard from the testimony, kind of got hooked in a situation where the timing just lined up with the downturn in the economy, and so they do have kind of a tough situation here. But I just wanted the committee to note that. Thank you.
Senator Dietzick, thank you.
Madam Chair, again, and just for those of us that aren't familiar on the property values in Canby, what would one of those lots sell for without the assessment?
Madam Chair, committee member, they'd sell for about $10,000.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Senator Dames or his testifiers? Thank you very much, then. We appreciate the presentation, and the bill will be laid over.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman's not here yet.
Just okay.
We're going to take up. We're going to take up Senate File 670 first, which is the dealing with the 5-year rule.
What addition?
Mr. Chairman and members, would like to begin with, because we're still working on getting an amendment right to the other bill, to Senate File 670. Thank you very much. There are a number of provisions in the TIF statutes that are associated with limits of years, lengths of districts, et cetera, how long you have to actually do like site preparation, how long you have to spend increment in a given district, where you can spend it, and so forth. One of those rules is the 5-year rule. And it allows you to have 5 years to spend inside a district after a district has been certified. And what this bill does is to change that to a 10-year rule. And I think it's worth the discussion of why this rule is proposed to be doubled, and committee can at its discretion decide whether it's a good thing to do. So I've invited the proponents to come and describe why they think this should be a general law change rather than simply taking it up when a special taxing TIF district legislation asks for it. So we'll let them make their case.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. My name is Patricia Nauman. I'm the executive director of Metro Cities. We're an organization that represents cities across the seven-county metropolitan area, and I'm also speaking today on behalf of the League of Minnesota Cities in support of Senate File 670, which would extend the authority under the 5- and 6-year rules under the TIF statute to allow essentially cities some additional flexibility and time in being able to address the various spending that goes on inside of the TIF district. This was an issue that was brought to us by our members. As we've in our policy committees over the summer, when we have discussed issues associated with tax increment financing, and essentially because of the challenges associated with the economic recession and the difficulty that difficulties that is presented in getting some of the projects moving and off the ground, this would just provide some additional time for cities to be able to use these provisions under the TIF statute. So it's increasing the effectiveness and flexibility in what is a very important tool for cities, but has been constrained by the recent economy and the challenges that has presented for cities in doing some of these projects. Thank you.
Senator Rist.
If you look on the page 2 of the language that's being struck, we were concerned in the past about the particular time period of the downturn in the economy, and we allowed districts during that period to have that rule extended to 10 years if they were certified during those 6 years as an accommodation. And I think it may be a good thing to move to 10 years period, but I do want members to understand in looking at that we were doing it for a particular time of economic downturn. And I guess there can make the argument that period is continuing at this point. And so hence the recommendation for a general law extension. At some point, we may want to instead modify lines 2.6 to 2.10 rather than doing a total, having another time period or extending the time period might be another more conservative approach rather than just extending the 5-year rule generally to a 10-year rule. So I hope as we move forward on the TIF section that we'll pay attention to those lines that are struck and see whether the better course of action is to simply extend the time period in which the 10-year rule can be applied rather than making it a general law change. And that's probably is now where I'm going to go here.
Mr. Chair and members, Metro Cities and the League would certainly be open to discussing that, and that is the committee's desire. The flexibility that we are requesting has been stated to us by our members to indeed be a consequence of the economic recession and the challenges that has presented for using TIF. So we'd be open to that kind of change as well.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Rester, Ms. Nauman. I don't recall all of this detail that the state auditor had in their TIF presentation, but my recollection is that while the majority of the legislative TIF legislation asks for this, the majority of the districts do not because they don't need special legislation. And I don't know, Ms. Nauman, if you can tell me up in your neck of the woods how many of these TIF districts have just gone through under the general rules of the state and been completed and decertified, and how many of them would actually have to have this. Is this something that we really truly need to be considering for most of them, or is it half of them, or do you got a feel for that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, I don't have a specific number off the top of my head. I don't expect that it would be all districts, but it would be some. I can try to get some better information about that for you. I know we've, on the bill that's coming up next, we've done some informal surveying of our members to see how many would be interested in using that tool, but I don't have that specifically for this particular provision, but I'd be happy to try to get you some additional information.
We need to know that. Which districts would be which economic development authorities would be benefited by making this change, whether we did it, the general law change, Senator Skoy, Mr. Chairman, or whether we simply changed that April 20th, 2009 to a further year out.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you can lay the bill over unless there's anybody else who wants to talk about it.
Any further questions or comments? Okay, Senator Rest, we'll lay over Senate File 670. Do you want to take up your Senate File 669?
Sure. Okay. And I wonder if, Mr. Chairman, if a page could be sent to, I'm not sure we're going to take a whole lot of time on this bill. Is Senator Hoffman on his way?
He's in 112 if the page is going to get him.
He's still working on another bill in another committee. So.
Okay, well, we'll do this bill, and if we don't get to his, we'll return to it on another day.
Okay, Senator Rest, Senate File 669.
Senate File, except we might, yes, well, we may hear Senate File 610 even without Senator Hoffman.
Okay.
Because I think the people who are here, oh, here he is. Good. In fact, why don't we, you can continue to chair, but since Senator Hoffman is here, we'll revert to his bill.
Okay. Senator Hoffman, or Senate File 610. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I was testifying on a food nutrition up in education finance, so I thank you for holding this time, and thank you for hearing me on the TIF proposal that we have forward. And I'll start off, Coon Rapids Old City Hall, across from that on the boulevard, was a business complex, and it was tore down because it was old. The original Ace Hardware store was in there. It was kind of the old mecca of Coon Rapids at one time, but that was tore down, and the developer was going to redo that with some mixed land use, and that's when the market dropped, and the developer then wasn't able to get his finances in order. But now that the market is picking up, there's some movement again, and what we're specifically asking is we're just going to extend the TIF provision so that we can create some business opportunities where business once flourished in Coon Rapids. That's about it in a nutshell for you, Mr. Chair. So I can't make a motion here. I think the hope is to get it moved over into an omnibus bill, I believe. Is that?
Yeah, Senator Hoffman, we'll lay the bill over for consideration later. So that's what will happen today. We'll just lay it over.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I stand for questions.
Any questions, comments from committee? Okay, Senator Hoffman, your bill, Senate File 610, is laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Have a great day.
Yeah.
So we go from 9 to 6 years, so that's 2015. Give me 1 year.
All right, Senator Rest, back to Senate File 669.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. In 2010, we had a jobs bill to really stimulate economic activity giving a lot of latitude and flexibility to economic development authorities during the downturn, and within that bill we had tax increment financing provisions, and once again we're asking under the authority given in that bill to extend that temporary authority yet once again to allow the projects to be finished. And so that's what Senate File 669 does, and there is there is an amendment that reflects further consideration of the time within which to complete the activities. And Sylvia has it. Has it been handed out?
Okay, Senator Rest, the amendment is being handed out now.
So I'm going to once again call on Ms. Nauman to, after we get it, to explain what has happened since the 2010 legislation passed and also the circumstances under which this needs to be extended. And we are dealing with economic development districts here. So, Mr. Chairman, I move the A2 amendment.
All right. Senator Rest moves the A2 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, it is a six-month extension from what's in the bill, or maybe it's a year. So I call on Ms. Nauman to defend the bill.
Okay. Ms. Nauman.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you again for the opportunity to comment on Senate File 669. I am again speaking for Metro Cities as well as the League of Minnesota Cities in support of this legislation. A little bit of history for you. The provisions that are in this bill were originally put in 2010 as part of an overall jobs package, and they were extended in 2011 for an additional year. So those provisions have now expired. Essentially, the flexibility that was put into the statute dealt with a couple of areas that allowed the cash balances in existing TIF districts to be used for construction and expanded the authority of economic development districts to be used for any new construction, the point of which was to try to spur job growth again in a very challenged economic time. The changes were meant to be temporary, but when they were originally put in 2010, they were 1 year, which is very temporary. And doing any kind of economic development work take a lot more time than maybe was allowed for in that original bill. Hence, we did get an extension for that legislation in 2011, which has now expired. We did receive an extension in last year's tax bill, which was subsequently vetoed by the governor, so the provisions have now expired. So we're back here seeking an additional extension, again, to acknowledge that this is still a very important tool for cities, and these projects are taking additional time to complete due to lots of financial issues and the economic recession that we're still trying to dig our way out of. The City of Brooklyn Park, Jason Arsvold, the Community Development Director for the City of Brooklyn Park, is also here to speak in support of this bill. And he and I have talked about the timelines that were originally proposed. The amendment that you have before you would allow for a little bit more time, and I think Mr. Arsvold can speak to why that would be important for the city. I'm going to turn it over to him, but again, we do support this additional extension to this important TIF authority. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Arsvold, welcome to the committee and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Jason Arsvold. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Brooklyn Park, and I'm also a member of the Economic Development Association of Minnesota, and I'm here speaking on behalf of both organizations in support of this bill. I wanted to talk a little bit about what we've been able to accomplish with this authority in Brooklyn Park, because it's meant quite a bit for the community. We have been able to do a number of different projects in the city, all of which have been great projects. We have taken a vacant warehouse, an empty warehouse building, and used this authority to help convert that into a high-tech manufacturing facility complete with clean rooms and great jobs. It's been a great success for our community. Wouldn't have been possible without this bill. We've also been able to help modernize an older industrial building that wasn't leasing up because of the fact that it didn't have modern fire suppression systems. And it was an impediment to getting that facility leased. We worked with the owners of that property to install the modernized fire suppression system. I'm happy to say that that building is 100% leased today because of those improvements that we were able to undertake. You know, we've done other things in the community. We had a small business that was outgrowing its existing building in the city. We wanted to keep them in the city and see them grow in the community. They identified a building that had been vacant in our city. And with the assistance, was able to modernize that building and make the upgrades that it needed so that it could move into that building, expand its operations. And the building that it left was also able to be occupied by a new business, too. So we've seen some great success there. And then something that's very important for a city like ours, but maybe a little different than a traditional project of this nature, is that we were able to use this money to help redevelop and reposition a retail center in the community so that it could find a new tenant base, stabilize its mix of tenants, and then beautify the community. And that's led to neighborhood-wide improvements as a result of that happening, and it couldn't have been done without this. And I know that everybody likes to focus on, well, what are the numbers? What have you done in terms of this? And, you know, in our community, we use about $780,000 of existing TIF funds through this authority. And through that, we leveraged $6.7 million in private investment. So that was all the money that went into the projects that I just described into the private marketplace that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so that for us has been a tremendous thing, especially in this time in the economy. And then finally, there are 365 new jobs that will result as the projects that I just talked about, and an additional 43 that are retained in the community, which is the small business that was able to move its operations. So those things, you know, those are the numbers that are important, but I think there's also the piece for us, this flexibility is provided for a city like Brooklyn Park, is that, yes, there's been great success in terms of jobs and investment, but what we've also been able to do is that we aren't able to do a traditional tax increment financing through this authority is repurpose existing buildings in the city. And where those things have happened and those businesses have occupied those places, they've stabilized those industrial areas around them. And for a community like ours, that is a very important reason for us to continue to try and invest like this. And we think that with the extension of this bill, we will be able to continue as a community to make these kinds of investments in the city. And so, of course, we're very supportive of this moving forward. Now, on the timing issue, we did take a look at those dates. What would have been essentially would have required us to have about a six-month window to actually start construction in the dates that had been provided previously. And as somebody that's a practitioner and involved in these projects on a day-to-day basis, I know that we can spend 3 or 4 months just negotiating a development agreement, and then that particular individual has to come through and apply potentially for land use or zoning approvals, and that can be up to a 2 or 3 month process. And so just from a practical standpoint, it would be very difficult to meet the January 1, 2014 construction start date that had been contemplated in the bill, not to mention the fact that that happens to fall in the middle of winter. So what we were asking is maybe we could just push that to the middle of 2014, and we think we'd be much more successful being able to actually, you know, start projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Rest, I was reviewing the bill on line 1.18. What's the rationale for removing the qualified border retail facility? What's your thoughts on that? And just listen to the testifier talk about the retail facility in Brooklyn Park and wondering why you're removing that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, I'm going to let Ms. Nowen respond to that, why it's being removed as an approved use.
Mr. Chair and members, and Mr. Sylvia can probably also speak to this, but my understanding is that this is obsolete language that is no longer in statute, so it is not necessary in this bill.
And so, Mr. Chair, Ms. Nauman, would have this been language that would have been related to the border cities program that the state had? Am I tracking along that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, I think I'm going to allow Mr. Sylvia to answer that question. I'm not entirely certain if that is connected or not.
Mr. Chair and Senator Skoy, I believe this was related to the kind of the economic development cleanup bill that we had last year that removed some obsolete language relating to some of the border zone tax incentives. I believe this is obsolete language on 1.18 that wouldn't be a qualified use for the increment for this type of district.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, it's in this bill, but it's not. It's only because it's in the same section that we're amending.
And, Mr. Chair, Mr. Sylvia, the reason this is obsolete is because that border cities competitive component is not there anymore. It was eliminated in the last biennium.
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Ms. Nauman. It's more or less on the same lines that Senator Skoy asked about the previous bill, and that is how many districts other than Brooklyn Park, economic development authorities, would be affected by this additional extension of this authority. Do you know that, or can you get that information to us?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, Metro Cities several months ago conducted, again, an informal survey, so this is a little bit more art than science, but we did receive a response from our members that indicated roughly 15 to 20 cities would be interested in using this provision. It could be a little bit more, a little bit less, but I think that's a pretty good guess on our part. Of cities that would use it. I'm happy to provide that list to the committee if they'd like to see it.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Nauman, and that's 15 of how many?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, we polled our members. We have 85 members. What that doesn't tell us so much is doesn't give us so much a statewide picture. That is basically a metropolitan area picture. So it's a really rough guess. But there is significant enough interest in it for us to have it be part of our policy. And again, it could actually be an underestimate, given that it is not a statewide survey.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, I would repeat that, this was in the bill that got vetoed, and so the authority has gone away. It does pick it back up again through the end of 2014. And I would hope to get some assurances from Metro Cities that they won't be back.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, if you don't want us to be back, we won't be back. If I could just, we'll be back on other things.
Yes,
right. Okay. Mr. Chair and members, what I would asked to be able to say in response to that is we do recognize this is a pretty broad interpretation of this TIF statute. It is something that has been very useful to cities, and we do expect it would be useful to several more. But we are not asking, unlike the other bill, we are not asking for this to become part of general law into the future. We still recognize that there needs to be timelines on this because it is such broad authority. So. We do recognize that.
And Mr. Chairman, I concur with how broad this authority is, and I would not support it being extended beyond what we're asking for in this bill if they came back.
Okay. Any further questions from the committee? Anything further, Senator Rest? Okay. We'll lay over Senate File 69 as amended.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, I want Senator Skoy, do you want to just say again what we're going to be doing tomorrow in the full committee?
Senator Skoy.
Mr. Chair and members, the full division is going to hear a couple of equalizing bills. We're going to have a presentation on some school levy impacts from Mr. Melcher from the Department of Education.
Thank you, and then we can be adjourned.
Okay, and that's at 8:30, Senator Skoy?
I don't have my calendar right in front of me.
Oh, it's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Okay. And then, Senators, Rest, your committee meets at 8:30 on Thursday.
8:30 on Thursday, and we'll be dealing with the tobacco article in the bill, and the governor's bill and other tobacco-related proposals, and we'll be meeting in room 123 because this room is going to be used for the forecast stuff or something. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to meet upstairs on Thursday morning. Thank you very much, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you, and meeting's adjourned.